Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 171. It's the week of January 21st, 2013. I'd like to thank you for coming along. I'm going to get right into my topic here. Let me read something, and then we'll talk about it. We know that the sheep live in denial. This is what makes them sheep. They do not want to believe that there is evil in the world. They can accept the fact that fires can happen, which is why they want fire extinguishers, fire sprinklers, fire alarms, and fire exits throughout their kids' schools. But many of them are outraged at the idea of putting an armed police officer in their kids' school. Our children are dozens of times more likely to be killed and thousands of times more likely to be seriously injured by school violence than by school fires. But the sheep's only response to the possibility of violence is denial. The idea of someone coming to kill or harm their children is just too hard, so they choose the path of denial. The sheep generally do not like the sheepdog. He looks a lot like the wolf. He has fangs and the capacity for violence. The difference, though, is that the sheepdog must not, cannot, and will never, ever harm the sheep. Any sheepdog who intentionally harms the lowliest little lamb will be punished and removed. The world cannot work any other way, at least not in a representative democracy or a republic such as ours. Still, the sheepdog disturbs the sheep. He is a constant reminder that there are wolves in the land. They would prefer that he didn't tell them where to go, or give them traffic tickets, or stand at the ready in our airports in camouflage fatigues holding an M16. The sheep would much rather have the sheepdog cash in his fangs, spray himself with white paint, and go bah, until the wolf shows up, that is. Then the entire flock tries desperately to hide behind one lonely sheepdog. And that's by Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, who wrote a book called On Killing. His theory, he looks at things through a lens of the sheep and the sheepdog, which is what I just read from. That was a quote from his website, which is rangerup.com/sheepdog. You might want to check that out. I'll probably put that in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. The reason I bring this up is I don't normally talk about political stuff in this podcast. In fact, I rarely do. But I just had a few things I had to say here in reference to that. We really need to protect our kids at school, especially after the Sandy Hook thing. Hell, you can't even go to the movie theaters, you know, stuff like that. You're not really safe anywhere in the society, and because it's a free society, and that's the cost of freedom, is sometimes safety is compromised. We pay so much money and so much attention to protecting our politicians in Washington, even in the state legislatures. But we don't have nearly the amount of protection for our children, which everybody says is our most precious resource. So the sheep don't think that anything would ever happen in their community. I'm sure the people of Sandy Hook didn't think they would either. And the community where I live, of course, we would never think that would happen here either until the sniper shot somebody in a parking lot of a restaurant in Ashland, right here where we live. About a mile and a half from where I live is the Ponderosa, and that is where the gentleman from Florida was shot. He survived. So the Beltway snipers were right here in the center of the universe. So my whole way of thinking has actually changed since then, and even before that. There are lots of crazy people out there, and they're going to get their hands on firearms. And they're going to get their hands on other things, and they're going to kill people. That's just the way it is. There's already laws against killing people, so you know more laws are not going to change anything. People's behavior is going to pretty much stay the same. It just amazes me how we, as a society, don't spend more money to protect our schools, but yet we protect all our politicians, you know, 10 times over, but we're not protecting our kids. And now, in the county where I live, we have school resource officers in almost all the schools, and that's excellent. I personally think two officers at each school would be good. You got to put fences around schools. And, you know, if you haven't cut off the podcast by now because of, maybe I have a little bit of an extreme view, you know, I just think that's one way to do it. Make it look like an embassy. And it'll be protected. You won't get crazy people in there if it looks like an embassy. You know, we protect people who come here and visit our country more than we protect our own people. And that's just one thing I've never quite understood. And, you know, don't even get me going about how the politicians in Washington gave themselves pay raises. And I haven't had a raise in 3 years. But yet they voted themselves pay raises, and I know that I think it got retracted. But just to think that it was being considered just completely bewilders me. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying about guns. Guns are always going to be around in this culture. They're never going to go away. There's not going to be any kind of gun grab or anything like that. The federal government is not going to come take our guns. I'm not worried about that, and I'm not paranoid about that. I'm not really a gun guy, but you know, I enjoy guns. I think there's uses for them, sporting and otherwise. And but you're not going to get all the guns rounded up. Just like I was saying earlier, you're not going to be able to round up all the illegal immigrants that are here. It's impossible. It's just not going to happen. And the people that would be responsible for getting the guns would be local law enforcement, and they're not going to be able to do that and take calls and handle everything else they do. And I doubt the state police will do it. And the federal government just doesn't have enough federal law enforcement to go around and get all your guns. That's the problem with registration is then the government knows who's got them. Well, hell, when you go buy one, you got to fill out forms anyway. I mean, they can figure out who's got them if that's what they want. But there's not going to be any kind of gun grab. The thing that concerns me the most is future legislation that would tax gun ownership to the point where homeowners could not have a gun in their house for home protection, which is really the bottom line what I'm talking about, home protection. I was listening to a podcast, Bill Cunningham out of Cincinnati. He was talking about home invasions in England are 10 times what they are in the United States because nobody has guns there. And so when people break in the house, even when people are there, there's nothing they can do because the criminals have the guns, but the good guys don't. So there's nothing they can do to protect their homes. So therefore people do break into houses. No, you know, people break into houses a lot here in the U.S. But I think somebody would think twice about breaking into a house if they knew that they were going to get shot once if the homeowner was in there. But I do worry a little bit about future legislation taxing gun permitting, gun permits, whatever the federal government decides to do. Because I don't see that ever happening in state government, at least not in Virginia. Taxing people who have concealed carry permits to the point where it's not affordable. But I can see the federal government doing that. And, you know, incrementalism is how the federal government changes things. And it's not always a big change, but it's incremental stuff. And since Obama came into office, you see these incremental changes happening that gets people concerned. And it's a divided country. I mean, the next president after Obama, whether it's Republican or Democrat, will be elected on 51%. I mean, that's just pretty much the way it's going to be from now on. I don't think you're going to see any kind of huge differences in the president with the amount of people that vote for one side or the other. But I do worry about the cost, and because that can, at some point in time, people, you know, you have to renew a permit every year, or even to shoot the gun, you have to, the tax on ammunition is such that it's just not affordable, and then people just, you know, eventually if you can't afford something, you know, like you don't, say for example, how many times do you go actually pay for the real expensive gas? You know, usually you get the 87 octane because it's the cheapest, because it's in your affordable level. You know, that's just what you do. I mean, say at some point in time, you know, if the government, federal government taxes firearms where you have to pay a yearly tax on it, you know, it gets to a point where it's just not affordable and people, and that's where they end up giving them up. And that's wrong. I don't know if that would happen, but that's just something that I kind of think about. And then the whole idea with ammunition, taxing the sale of ammunition, could easily, you know, putting a federal tax on that could easily happen. I never understood why our food is taxed anyway. I mean, I don't really want to go down that whole taxation line, but I never understood why food is taxed. I mean, you have to eat to survive, and the government's going to tax you on that. I never really quite understood why food is taxed. I can see going out to a restaurant and having food prepared, and then that's taxed. But, you know, to go to the grocery store and to buy simple food and come home and make yourself a meal so you can live, you get taxed on that, and that's just kind of crazy. So anyway, that the sheep and the sheepdog discussion is really interesting because the police. I have a lot of respect for police, and I follow the rules. You know, I follow the law. I don't break the law and stuff. And I like seeing lots of police out as long as they're not bothering me. They're not bothering my family unnecessarily. I like seeing them. I think that's good. But in reality, we know that police are usually about 5 minutes away everywhere. And a lot can happen in 5 minutes. I'm talking about when you have to call the police to your location. Sheep usually, that's when they want, whenever the sheep around and the wolf shows up, they want to see the sheepdog, but they don't want to see the sheepdog when the wolf ain't around. And I've always thought that was an interesting, I guess the word is dichotomy. I'm not sure if that's the right word. How some people, you know, they like the, everybody wants to, glad when the police are there, but they hate them when they need them, but they don't want them around if they don't need them. And I've always thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, there's lots of bad people out there. And one of the things that I do at the end of the podcast is when I say, don't forget to hug your kids. I started saying that after some incident happened where a bunch of kids were hurt. I can't remember what it was, but I started saying that at the end of the podcast. And they're our most precious resource. I've got one, so if something was to happen to her, I don't have any others to cling on to. So I guess I am overly protective in a way, not to the point of infringing on her ability to have fun and go out and do things. But I guess I probably don't let her do stuff that I knew my parents let me do. And I guess in some ways my parents really don't ever want to know some of the stuff that I did. I probably still get in trouble. Probably still get in trouble for it. So what do we do in this country about this gun problem that's perceived? That's going to be very interesting to see what happens with what the president does with these executive orders. Dealing with mental health, dealing with banning certain guns, magazine capacity. I was listening to, I think it was the same Bill Cunningham podcast, where in New York, if you put more than 7 rounds in a magazine, you're breaking the law, even in your own house, even if you have one of those magazines. And that's just asinine. It really is. It really is. There's just a lot of things that don't make any sense to me. You know, guns are here to stay. They're not. You can't get them. These buyback programs are just feel good, and most of the guns that are turned in are inoperable. You don't have gangsters and thugs, street thugs, bringing their guns to buyback programs. It's just kind of ridiculous. It really is. And if you look at what happened in the city of Chicago in 2012, they had over 500 homicides. And that's in a city, there was only 305 American deaths in Afghanistan, and that's a war zone. You know, which is the war zone? It's just crazy. And yeah, some of those people are killed by guns. Not all of them. They're not all gun homicides, but the guns are not going anywhere, because more people are buying them, and they're always going to be here. Just like the illegal immigrants are always going to be here. You can't get rid of them. You can't get them to leave. So how are you going to round up guns? And if those people are more visible, you know, how are you going to find guns that are in homes? It's just not going to happen. I've talked to people where I work, and they talk about going and getting these assault rifles and because they're going to be banned and all that. You know, if some people just want to buy them. They're manufactured. People want to buy stuff that's manufactured. They want to collect things. Guns have a lot of power. And there are people that like that. They like that. And they also like the fact that it's protected by the Constitution. I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling on a diatribe, and if you haven't cut off the podcast by now because you don't agree with my views, then I guess I could keep going, but I'm not. Let me transition a little bit into my training, not gun training, running training. I had an excellent last week. Got 30 miles in for the week, with the highlight being the long run of 15 miles on the Saturday. Huge confidence builder. Felt pretty good. Played a lot of mental mind games with myself that day. I went out with the dog for the first 5 or 6 miles, brought him back. And then I just kind of did some loops around the house, about kind of a 1 mile loop, mile and a quarter loop. And for some reason, before I knew it, I was on the 14th mile getting ready to wrap it up, and it just all of a sudden went by kind of fast. I did it by myself. But I did run into Ashlyn Tom and his wife running, and I thought I would run with them for a few minutes. But the mistake I made was that Tom's wife was running her marathon pace. She's doing a marathon pace run, which was like an 8:35 mile or something. And so she quickly got up ahead of me, and I just turned around and said, you know, what am I doing? I can't even keep up with these folks. So that was kind of funny, but huge confidence builder. I needed to get up to 15 miles. I'm really, really squeezing in endurance training, the distance training before the 50K on February 2nd. Next week I'll do 20 for the long run, and I'm just going to train right up to the race. I'm not going to do any tapering because I just don't have the weeks, but I'll rest plenty the week before, during the week. And then I just want to get through the Charlotte Ultra, which is the 50K, and then transition to hill training pretty much all the way until the week before April 20th, which is the Blue Ridge Marathon, which is all hills. I've heard that there's a real long hill second mile into the race. I think Crash Crowder was telling me that. But anyway, and then I got out again this morning and did another 6, and I'm just feeling pretty good. My pace is around a 10:20 to 10:25 overall, and I'm pretty much sticking to the run a mile, walk a tenth, run 9/10 and walk a tenth. Run 9/10 and walk a tenth. That's worked out really good, and I did that last year at the Charlotte Ultra, so I do plan to do that again. And it's a great great course. It's a asphalt trail and crushed stone trail. And I remember last year was a little rainy. Hoping it won't be rainy this year. But I'm really looking forward to it because I get to visit a friend of mine that lives in the southern part of Charlotte, I guess on the other side, almost in South Carolina. And it's a long drive, but I'll have some time. I'll be driving back the actual day of the Super Bowl, which... just as long as I'm back, I guess, by 6 or 6:30 when the Super Bowl starts, I'll be in good shape. So anyway, looking forward to that. And after the Charlotte Ultra, I'll be transitioning to hill training, where hills will have to become my friend. And that'll be due to the Blue Ridge Marathon being a very, very hilly course. And I think I've said this before, but I believe it's been deemed the toughest marathon in the eastern part of the country. So I'm treating it more like an ultra. All right, let me talk a little bit more. I'm going to talk some about the DVD program that I have. If you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard me mention several times about the Graveyard 100 DVD. Well, I've got several others that I want to make available also, and it's the same deal. I'll tell you what, you know, I'll send it to you, and then I'll send you the information for the suggested $10 donation to Ashland Christian Emergency Services. And that's I'll send it to you. I'll send you the DVD, and it plays just like a regular DVD in your computer or your DVD player. And then you make the decision if you want to send in the donation. I've found that runners are generally honest people, and if they say they're going to do something, they generally do. And I've also heard from some listeners who've heard back from ACES thanking them for the donation. So that is very cool. So some of the other races are Strolling Gem. These are amateur documentaries I've produced of these races. Strolling Gem, which is a 40-mile race in the area of Wartrace, Tennessee. Mountain Masochist, which is a 50-miler. That is one that Ashlyn Tom did, that me and my friend Rodney crewed for him. And Tom, I don't think you'd mind if we were to try to raise some money for Aces through your DVD. Also got North Face 50 Miler, which was the one in the Washington D.C. area that has some great pictures of my feet. So that's the race where my feet got burned up. So I'm making these available, and then the other one's going to be of course the Keys 100, which I did the 50 mile version of that, and that's a documentary of me and Rodney. So I'll make those available also, not just the Graveyard 100. And I'll list all of these on my website at ashlanddave.podbean.com, so you can go check those out and email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you have an interest in me sending them out to you. They're pretty cool. I mean, just gives you an idea of what the Ultra was like from different points of view. I personally think the best one was the movie I did of Tom and the Mountain Masochist, because we were able to get a lot of good footage of the race and the feel of the mountains. I forgot I did another one of Rodney down in Atlanta, which was North Face, actually Pine Mountain. I know Chris, who listens to the show, doesn't like it. It's not really North Face Atlanta, it was North Face Pine Mountain, but they call it North Face Atlanta. Just like the North Face Washington wasn't even in D.C. Matter of fact, you couldn't even get across the Potomac River right there. It was all in Virginia. They get a big city. That way people know where general area where it's at. So I'm going to list all those at ashlanddave.podme.com. Those are all ultras. And it's just something that I kind of do as a side hobby to kind of remember the event. Especially when I go off somewhere without my family, it gives my daughter an idea of what the ultra was like, because she can watch the movie. So I'd like to make all those available to listeners. And again, the $10 donation is what is requested. And of course, that's on the honor system. All right, we got an audio clip from the website. Let's check that out.
Hey, Ashland Dave, this is Just Norm over in West Central Florida. I just wanted to leave a brief voicemail, about how much I enjoy your podcast when it comes out. I know you don't have a regular time frame for putting them out, and that's okay. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy the topics that you bring to the table, the sensibility, the fair-mindedness, the rationality of the way you approach things. It seems that you have some Christian or some Catholic background, and I do as well. So I think that kind of shapes our lives a little bit in the way that we view things. But a long time ago, I after listening to Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe, I seem to remember either you or maybe it was Ashlyn Tom. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But I enjoyed the interview, I'm sorry to say. And I even wrote a post kind of a shout-out to one of you guys. And I don't have the time, the patience, or the memory to look back a couple years ago. But I know you've mentioned an Ashlyn Tom in your podcast. So it was one of you guys. But anyway, keep doing what you're doing. Keep up your running. Keep serving your community, being the husband and father that you are. You sound like you're a really great guy, a nice guy. And good luck with all your training and your goals and your aspirations. Okay? Take care. Nice to meet you through the power of the interwebs. All right. Bye.
And that was Just Norm out of West Central Florida. Appreciate the audio clip there, Norm. If you want to leave me an audio clip where you can hear your voice on the podcast, which I think is kind of neat, you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and go all the way over to the right-hand side of your computer screen and check out the SpeakPipe feature. And I'd like to thank Scott Johnson over at the Computer Tutor for that tip. He's got his own podcast, which he comes out with a new one every Monday, so you might want to check him out. It's called The Computer Tutor. But Norm, I appreciate your very kind words, very complimentary, and I don't really know what to say. And yeah, I'm a Catholic, that kind of drives a lot of what how I look upon life. And I'm not always right, but I think I do okay. And I do the best I can to try to be nice to other people. Sometimes that doesn't really get you very far. but wouldn't you like to be remembered as a nice person when you're dead? You know, that the people, when they think of you, they think that you are a nice person and you weren't an asshole. I guess would be the best way to be remembered. At least that's how I'd like to be remembered. So I appreciate that, Norm. And let's check out the email bag section of the show. Yeah, email bag's a little light this week. I heard from Sandy and Dirt Dog, and would like to thank David Williams for the donation to the podcast. And you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and check out the donate button on the computer screen. And if you'd like to donate to the podcast, all donations are greatly appreciated. That helps with the server cost of the podcast, which really isn't that much. But I guess over the course of the year, it adds up. And I've been doing this for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. I think I've been doing the podcast 3 years. I can't remember. All right, I heard from Sandy, and she was questioning. We're going to be doing the Blue Ridge Marathon together, which will be really cool. We've decided we'll just start and try to finish together and just do a modified run-walk just to get to the finish line. So it'll be very cool to meet her in person and her husband, Eric. And also heard from Dirt Dog in reference to the podcast I did about with Dr. Karn. I can't remember the guy's name. The one that is writing the book Marathoning for Dummies. And I thought Dirt Dog's email was pretty funny. I'm gonna share some of that here if I can find it here. It says, I meant to email you after more than appropriate rant about that jackass and his idea that marathons should only allow running. For what it's worth, when I BQ'd at Columbus, I walked. When I ran at Boston, I walked. And when I did my 100-miler, I walked. Does that make me a non-marathoner because I walked? Don't think so. Mike. Yeah, I totally agree. Also wanted to say condolences to Dirt Dog, a.k.a. Mike, because his dog died. And I know that feeling. He had a podcast. Is over at Dirt Dog Running Diatribe. You got to check it out. He talked about his dog Nemo that he used to run with. And it's funny how you get so attached to an animal. I know I do. I've got a dog named Blue now, but I used to have two little running buddies named Otis and Basil. And they were both black lab mixes. And when they were healthy, I ran with both dogs. And I remember there'd be some times that people would stop and look at this motley crew coming down the street, because I was able to get both dogs to run on my left side, and Basil always ran on the outside, and Blue Otis always ran on the inside. And it's just amazing. You know, dogs they love you for life. I don't know if anybody's ever really thought of that. They don't wake up in a bad mood and not want to be affectionate. They love you for life, and that unconditional love that dogs give you, I think, is something we can probably all learn from as humans. So that was the email bag section of the show. Like I said, a little light this week. If you want to send me an email, send it to ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I will take your email and generally talk about it on the show. If you say something in your email that you do not want me to put in the show, make sure you note that. Otherwise, everything's kind of just fair game for me to comment on. It's kind of an open forum. So anyway, that's the podcast for this week. I'll be back with another show not too distant future. And this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week. Thank you.